The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hello, Dr. Ray. I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Why do I have to be the insightful professional?
Thank you for empowering me.
Here's what I think is going on.
I think you're a hoot and a half.
My idea, my theory, my guidance is a bit of a stretch.
I just love your show.
Does that comfort you?
No.
Am I close?
No.
You are really smart.
I am sensitive and understanding and nurturing.
Your show to me is like a comedy information show.
Did I make you feel a lot better or what?
No, you made me feel worse.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
A communicative male. Listening, emotive. You can't see it, but I'm nodding my head as you talk, and I'm stroking my chin, doing all the psychological nonverbals that show acceptance, that show care, that show empathy, that show sensitive softness. Enough of that. Delighted to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In. Over there in Ann Arbor are my trusty sidekicks. Maybe I shouldn't say that. That's kind of violent, isn't it? I mean, we're not allowed to use the word like kicks anymore. Side people, Eric Dumont, call screamer. If you do give a call, 877-573-7825, please. It will wake him up. Yeah, we had to. Most of the time, the lines just blink. But we put some sound on it because he was not waking up with the lines just blinking. And Andrew's there. I don't know what he's doing. I think he's just kind of lurking around, attempting to find things that he can use to make me sound inarticulate, dumb, unfocused, insensitive. There's no lack of material there, Andrew. 877-573-7825, 877-57-equal is the number to call to get onto the program. I'm a psychologist. That's what I do professionally. That's what I did this morning. A lot of times in the mornings I go to the office first, and then I come here. Very different type of practice on the radio versus the audience or the office. The office, I can do the professional stuff with psychology, diagnose and therapy. Here, this is education time. Obviously, I can't do those things, but we can discuss. Oftentimes, you give me great ideas, and it appears that I'm listening. I'm not listening. I'm writing down your ideas. You have good stuff. So I write it down. You can't see me writing it down, but I do. And then after about, maybe 6 or 8 months of your feedback, helping other people with their situations and circumstances, I gather up all your ideas. I put them in books. I take credit for them. I put my name on them. I make money with them. Just want to say thanks. And thanks also to the guys in Albuquerque, the Diocese of Santa Fe. Wonderful visit there with Father Calloway. It was great. He's a wonderful priest and a very powerful speaker. He spoke before me. He's my lead-in act. He got the frisbees and the beach balls gone for me, and I appreciate that, Father. All right, one more time the number before I go off. 877-573-7825. Here's my advice. Accept what you get. Initially, I was thinking of giving this advice to grandparents. Accept what you get. But I realized that it can probably be broadened to many relationships, familial ones in particular. Let me explain what I mean. A fella came up to my table and said that, I believe it was his son, who married a daughter of one of their best friends. He said the relationship between he and his wife and the best friends after their daughter married his son changed. It cooled. There was a distance. I said, what's going on? I knew what was going on, but I had to make it sound like I was exploring. He said that his wife in particular felt that she was being shortchanged, that the daughter was influencing their son to spend more time with her parents. Holidays kind of stuff, you know, getting over there on Thanksgiving at 7 o'clock at night when they'd spent pretty much the whole day eating and they got the crumbs, what was left over. She's close to her parents, you know, so she's going to naturally be inclined to give more to her parents. And the son maybe being easygoing, not wanting to create conflicts, no competition, just sort of went along. And it was frustrating, this man's wife. She was reacting. She was feeling ripped off. She was disappointed in her son. She was pulling away from formerly good friends. And I said, given that I'm prone to sound bites now that I do media, I said, she needs to accept what she gets. That may sound sort of naive, perhaps harsh. Accept what you get. If you're a grandparent, what am I meaning? Well, I'm meaning time. For example, let's say that you've noticed that there is a little bit of a lopsidedness in the amount of time that the children, the grown children, whether that's your son and his wife or your daughter and her husband, spend with the other side. You don't know why that is, but it is. Or at least seems to be. Of course, you're tempted to say something. To say, or you bring out the timesheets from the last three holidays and you make note here that you got 32% and they got 68. Don't do it. Don't do it. You'll lose. No, Dr. Ray, if we don't make it clear, they could just continue to, we could get down to 12% and they could get 88%. Not likely. Here's why I say accept what you get. And by the way, accept it without gritting your teeth. Accept it with some sense of, what's the word I'm looking for? Cheerful civility. Two words. Why? Because, first, you don't gain anything by forcing someone to be with you when they're feeling pulled in some other direction, for whatever the reason. You don't gain anything. If somebody's going to be around me, I want them to be around me because they want to be around me, not because they feel they have to be around me. But it isn't right, Dr. Ray. It isn't right what they're doing. Why are they going there more often? Why have they spent the last two holidays the bulk of the time at their place and we got the leftovers? I don't know. But for whatever the reason, maybe the other side is putting pressure on them. Or maybe your daughter-in-law or son-in-law, whichever it might be, just feels like, I don't want to lose the connection with my own parents, and I push harder for that than your kid pushes harder for you. I don't know. There's a lot of reasons. And by the way, I'm going to give you one other reason. Got to be careful on this one. You got to make sure this ain't the reason. Maybe they're just easier to be around than you guys. I know. You don't want to think that. But that's a possibility. So, one, don't force it. Don't. Don't mention it. Don't say anything about it. If they say, we'll be over at 7 o'clock on Christmas Day, and you're thinking, wait a minute, you were there on Christmas Eve. And you know we're going to have our standard Christmas breakfast with your brother and your sister and their family here. And why can't you come over here for breakfast? And that, don't do it. I know it's tempting. Don't do it. It makes you sound kind of like, well, I'm not getting my fair share. But Dr. Ray, it isn't right. That's irrelevant. You want to be the ones that they come to see because they want to come to see. And you can't force it. Now, I think in the long run, you'll win with that strategy. You will get more. Why? Because you haven't set up the competition. You aren't hyper-vigilant to how many minutes you're getting versus how many minutes they're getting. And for heaven's sakes, don't take it personal. Well, how could I not take it personal? I raised this child. We're good people. That's true. But you don't know the pressure or the dynamics or whatever is coming from the other direction. Well, what about my son? He should stand up. What about my daughter? She needs to say something. Well, you don't know what kind of pressure they might be living with, and they may decide it's just easier to go the path of least resistance. In any marriage, in situations like this, oftentimes the more assertive spouse gets their way. So, back to the soundbite advice. Accept what you get pleasantly, amiably. You will only win in the long run. And if you don't accept it, you will lose in the short run. You don't want somebody coming to be with you because they feel they have to, because they got to punch the time card or else you're going to be all upset. Dr. A, that is really unrealistic advice. Well, okay, you don't have to take it. Ponder it. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to get onto the program. I am Dr. Ray Guarendi. Thank you for joining me.
All the advice, none of the bills. Come in. The doctor is in.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
We do our best to keep you, well, connected to all the events happening in our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith from Rome to back home here in the U.S. and around the globe. It's also our goal to help each and every listener like you take this beautiful faith of ours out into the public square with great ideas on making a difference through engaging the culture.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Tomorrow morning, 9 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The Doctor Is In is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
Countless Catholics settling for a life of faith that begins and ends with the obligatory Sunday Mass. While essential, giving just 1 hour of our lives to God can never satisfy our deep longing for a purposeful, joy-filled life. Hi, I'm Teresa Tomeo, host of Catholic Connection, and in my new book, Beyond Sunday, Becoming a 24/7 Catholic, I get real about what it takes for us to live as a Catholic every day of the week. You can purchase Beyond Sunday and the study guide at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Dr.
Dr. Ray Guarendi here on The Doctor Is In. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program to ask questions about life and kids and circumstances and emotions and development and psychological questions and psychological questions that interact with faith questions, however you choose to do that. 877-57-EQUAL. It is a very short step onto the air. You call that number. Eric Dumont picks up the phone. He says, the doctor is in. What is your question, please, for Dr. A? That's it. I mean, that's nothing. Matter of fact, I'm thinking I'm spoiling you people. I think we need to make it a little bit more of a challenge to get on the air. My daughter, Hannah, is 29 years old. She is a JAG lawyer in the Army in Baghdad right now, in the Green Zone. Hanny always kind of was a hard driver. First day of kindergarten, I said, Han, what do you think? What do you think about school? She said, I am wasting my time. How's that, Hanny? She says, I can't read, I can't write, and they won't let me talk. Okay, got it. One thing nice about having Hannah in kindergarten, her brother was in second grade at the time. This is before my wife started the homeschool. We knew that she would let us know anything he did anytime before he even got home. I don't really know how she did that. Okay, we're going to go to the phones here in a second. 877-573-7825. Okay, we will do that. We have a call up there that relates very much to what I just talked about. Kind of a sort of accept what you get. The problem is you take it personal and you get jealous. Claudia from Oregon, how are you? This is Dr. Ray.
Good. How are you, Dr. Ray?
I'm fine. You're raising children as a single mom. How old are your children?
Almost 12 and almost 16.
And you say that they prefer their dad's company more than yours?
Well, I just see it that way. They tend to be at dad's all the time, and they don't want to live at home anymore, and they want to go to school where dad lives, and I just feel like maybe they don't see. I know they're still kids, but I just feel like they're not appreciative of the time I've lived them on my own. Or,
well, what kind of, Claudia, what kind of visitation arrangement do you have with their father? Can they go over there anytime they want?
And that's how I kind of leave it up to them, but it's like they never want to come home. I just feel like he has a big family, and they have a lot of cousins and nephews and friends and neighbors and things like that. And I understand that part, but I feel like it's only like I'm the financial person that they come to. And it's like,
I think, Claudia, you're going to have to kind of decide. You're going to have to kind of decide how much you're going to let them decide for themselves. You got a 12-year-old, you got a 16-year-old. They are naturally going to choose the environment that they find, in their immature eyes, most pleasant, most appealing, most attractive, sometimes most entertaining, most materialistic. I don't know what their draw is, but if you're finding out that they're essentially saying, Mom, we're not going to really be around you much anymore because you're giving us the total choice and we're throwing our lot in with Dad. If that's the case, you may have to put some structure to visitation. Because it appears, and again, I don't know the reasons for this. I don't know. Dad could be a sweetheart of a guy, and you could be a nasty lady, or you could be a sweetheart of a lady, and he could be a nasty guy. I don't know. But obviously, something's gone on that probably is going to lead to you getting less and less time. So I think you may want to put some structure to these visitations, and if that means you have to go back to court, because a 12-year-old really isn't in a good position to decide which environment is the best for his upbringing. So what you're saying is, as long as you leave it open like this, as long as you essentially say to them, well, you can go whenever you want, however much you want, and you can stay as long as you want, and you can stay overnight if you want, as long as you do that, you're going to have a 12 and a 16-year-old making those decisions on the basis of a 12 and 16-year-old's maturity level. Okay?
Yeah.
Thank you, dear. Thank you. Alan, Springfield, Missouri. What's up, Alan?
I remember hearing you on the radio one time, and you said something about where you don't have to spank your kid. And,
Wait a minute. Alan, stop. You heard me say that you're not supposed to spank your kid? Is that what you're saying?
Well, not say that. You said a way to raise your kids without having to spank them, I think.
And, no, you're thinking of somebody else.
I didn't get to hear the whole talk, so you may have said more that I missed. But I was just wondering if it's all right to do it.
I think you're thinking of somebody else.
Do what?
Hold on. Let's get this established here. Yeah, I think you're thinking of somebody else. That happens a lot. People will say, you said the other day on the radio, and it wasn't me. You had a guest on your radio. I don't take guests. I wrote a book called Advice Worth Ignoring. It is 50 of the most common pieces of expert advice that have really undercut parents' confidence and authority. The longest section in that book deals with spanking. Spanking has become the number one child-rearing sin now out there. Probably 90%+ of mental health type experts would say, absolutely not. It's horrible. It's awful. It does all kinds of evil things. Unfortunately, or fortunately, however you look at it, the research on spanking is really shaky. What seems to be the best conclusion is that when done in a loving home by loving parents and for good reason, without heavy overreacting, it doesn't do any of those things that it's accused of. It's all theoretical. So the best thing I could say about spanking in our short period of time together is that you have to judge it as all discipline is judged in your home. How well is it working for you, for that child, for your value moral system? And I would offer these caveats. One, it can't be your main form of discipline because kids misbehave too much and you can't spank every time they misbehave. That's the first thing. Secondly, it usually fades out by time a kid's 5, 6, 7 for the most part. Thirdly, you got to know when you're going to do it, why you're going to do it, and for what circumstances you're going to do it. So all of those things need to be kept in mind regarding spanking. One final point. We did a study, one of my original books, Back to the Family. We interviewed strong families in all 50 states, asked them how they were doing it. 70% of them, with the greatest kids the teachers had seen, said they spanked. This is Dr. Ray.
What does the Catholic Catechism teach about divorce? The Church does not permit divorce in a valid marriage because she is firmly adhering to the rules set down by her founder. Jesus Christ made it very clear that a sacramental valid marriage was not to be dissolved. Whoever divorces his wife, he declared, and marries another, commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. Therefore, the Church maintains a second marriage cannot be recognized as valid if the first marriage is valid. The Catechism tells us if the divorced are remarried civilly, they find themselves in a situation that objectively contravenes God's law. In such a situation, they may not receive Eucharistic communion as long as this situation persists. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
We just did our parish mission a couple weeks ago now, and I suggested that in the course of the mission that we do something like a little mini spiritual assessment of our lives. I don't have to show this to anybody, but a great chance for us just to, with real honesty, just between us and Jesus, ask ourselves some questions. First question, given the fact that half of Catholics don't think God is even personal, would be to ask ourselves that. Do I think God is personal? And then to ask myself, do I think a relationship with Jesus is possible? Do I have a relationship with Jesus? And if so, what's it look like? And then perhaps a little bit more awkwardly or painfully, to ask Jesus, from his perspective, what's the friendship that we have with him look like? How would he describe our friendship with him? That might be a hard conversation to have.
Certain saints could bilocate. Be two places, known, seen at the same time. I can't do that, but I can do a version of it. I can bilocute, speak to two cities at the same time. Actually, omnilocute. I'm Dr. Ray Guarini. Thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. Co-production of the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Ave Maria Radio Communications. Good Lord permitting. I'm heading to Birmingham tomorrow to visit Father Mitch on the show, EWTN Live, with Father Mitch. I made my demands that I wanted Father Mitch to be my guest. He stood his ground. He said, I'm going to be his guest. He knows nine languages. I know two, English and Pig Latin. I accused him one time of not really knowing nine languages, just knowing nine different words from nine different languages and then just saying those words, and we didn't know because I didn't know nine languages. Father Mitch is an encyclopedia of knowledge. He is mind-numbing in the breadth of what he knows about the faith, about history, about current events. So I'm looking forward to that visit. I'll be doing the show from down there, too, on Thursday. Good Lord permitting. Sue calling from Ohio. Daughter came home from college break. And she said, Mom and Dad, I am same-sex attracted. Hi, Sue.
Hi. Yes.
Did you see any of this coming when your daughter was younger?
No. No, we kind of touched on it before she went the first year to college, but we talked about it and promised to be thinking about considering the possibility that that's not what was going on in her life and to try and be a straight person and go off to school and see what opportunities that had for her.
Do you know why she thinks that she has same-sex attraction? Is there a particular girl that she's seen? Is this a particular transition in her life? Is this something she says, no, I felt this way since I was six?
She claims that she's felt this way since about 11th grade, and she's never had the same-sex date person, but I'm kind of assuming that she is now.
She felt this way since 11th grade. Do you know what it was about her time in 11th grade that made her think, I am not hetero?
I think she was exposed to a lot of things around her that maybe she'll even say, well, I realized there was a choice. And we keep telling her there's really not a choice, and I don't know what to do, but she's going off to school, and
she is saying, in essence, Mom, I have decided, I have chosen to be interested romantically or physically in girls. That's what she said.
I guess so.
Okay. Well, I will tell you, this is what I see. Same-sex attraction is a very broad phenomenon. There is an awful lot. Well, let me rephrase that. There is a component of young people now that are sexually confused. And as a result, there's a lot of sexual confusion in our culture. And there is a lot of peer pressure to experiment. So those who say I'm same-sex attracted sometimes are in a transition, and they change with time. There are those who have gender identity problems from early on. I'm seeing kids, young adults, deciding that they are same-sex attracted when there was really no indication of any of that. And it happened when they got into a college environment or a high school environment where it was much more accepted. It was much more, it was beyond accepted. It was actually celebrated in their particular peer group. So what I'm saying is that sometimes there is a social component. I would suggest, Sue, that at this point, you really have no choice but to go with this, go with the flow, and talk with her about how she came to this conclusion. How did this happen? Is there some particular girl that she feels an erotic attraction to? What is going on in her life? What has gone on in her life? Open, honest, talking with her about how she made this decision, whether she thinks this is something that she's going to live the rest of her life, or she will say, I don't know. I'm confused. I don't know what I'm looking for, Mom. And at this time in my life, this is what I think I'm looking for. I don't know. So two levels to this. One, you're going to have to love your daughter no matter what. And two, you're going to help her sort through how she came to this conclusion. What are the reasons and the variables behind this decision? I will tell you, I personally have seen an explosion of young adults deciding that they are same-sex attracted, and I think there is no question a social component to some of this. Thank you, Sue. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
And I will... Oh, you're welcome. How should I put this? My daughter, she worked at a local fast food. She came home one day, and she said, Dad, there are six guys that I work with that say they are gay. Six. Now, I don't know how many total guys she worked with, but I know the percentage was somewhere around 30-40% of the guys. If you look at the statistics, all the most reliable statistics we have, percentage of same-sex attraction has always been about 1-3%. When you start getting upwards of 20-30%, you have to ask a legitimate question. Is there another component here that is leading to this? A friend of mine who was very, very active in the gay community for years and years and years, he is now chaste, living a very faithful Catholic life, told me that his son was told in his particular high school, approximately, the estimate was 60% of the kids said, you have to at least consider or try some type of same-sex attraction or contact. I'm Dr. Ray.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
In the church, we speak of seven gifts: wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, loyalty, courage, and reverence or fear of the Lord. When I speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and these gifts come, they give you the ability to go beyond your strength. If you're struggling to be a good person, a good member of your religion, you know it's a struggle and you don't always make it. I've been at it many, many decades and I still struggle and trip and fall and have holes in my socks. Struggling to be a good person, something that we need help at. And this help comes to us by these gifts of the Holy Spirit.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to wreck?
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
It's the start of a new day for Morning Catholic Radio.
Your Excellency, this is Gloria. I've just been wondering, are you going to be able to give him any gift from Kentucky? We need to let him know the breadth and beauty of the United States, so any chance you can give him a little token from Kentucky?
Just no whiskey.
Well, you know what, though, Brian? It wouldn't be whiskey, it'd be bourbon.
That's right.
Morning Glory, Catholic from the start. Weekday mornings, 7 Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Ugly psychological age spots. You've tried thinking them away. You've tried emoting them away. You've come to the right place. See what we can do. Now, got a call coming up, an anonymous call from New York. It's a generic call. I like generic calls. I get to expound, stretch, to try to sound smart. Hi, anonymous from New York, asking about hypnotherapy. You're getting very sleepy. Your eyes are tired. You can feel your breath coming in very steady amounts. How are you?
Well, I hope that's not the case, Dr. Eggs. I'm driving right now, but otherwise I'm good.
All right. You didn't, so, okay, so you don't see me swinging the watch in front of you?
No. I see my windshield wipers, which hopefully doesn't happen.
Well, hey, people have said those do have a hypnotic effect, right?
Yeah. That's funny that you think that you call this a generic call, because I can guarantee this is anything but. So, okay. Well,
you're telling me I'm wrong? Are you telling me I'm wrong?
For now, yeah. But
Andrew, mark this. This is the first time in, I think, 5 years. All right, go ahead, sir.
Two things, cards on the table. One, I've been diagnosed with obsessive compulsive disorder. Two, I have a long history that I've just broken of steadily increasing pornography usage. The two combined have made for some interesting and damaging effects. I first started using it at age 11 when I discovered a Playboy stash. By age 15, I was using internet porn. I'm 28 now. I've decided to go cold turkey, but that's because it had reached a peak where there were times where I'd go entire days using it. Now, for the seeing this is a nationally broadcasted radio program, I'm not going to get into specific detail of what I watched. But the lasting effects, well, lasting effects have affected. It's to the point where certain images are permanently stuck in my head. Certain lines of dialogue will conjure up these images. And to be honest, it's progressed to the point where if I see anyone who looks remotely attractive, sexual thoughts will immediately begin to stir. Obviously, I can't have that, so it's to the point where I think that we need to, I don't know why I'm so drawn to hypnotherapy. I guess I have this image that it pops the mental hood, so to speak, and works on the subconscious. What's your opinion on this? And now I know I'm in the wrong here.
If you're looking for hypnotherapy to pull away these images, thoughts, spontaneous words that conjure up past searing memories, excuse me, probably not. Hypnotherapy usually is most successful for what we would call circumscribed types of symptoms. Smoking, perhaps eating problems. I would think several things. First of all, I'm going to correct something you said.
Okay.
You used the word permanently. You said these images are permanently in my head. Let's use the word indefinitely in your head. Because I don't know if you're a religious guy or not, but God can do anything. So he can clean you up. That's the first thing. Secondly, I think you definitely are going to need some good spiritual guidance. Get with a priest that you trust and just stick with them, because you're going to need some good, faithful walking through this. Third, Matt Fraad, F-R-A-A-D, has some tremendous stuff on guys addicted or wrapped up in pornography. He does. He's very good. He's got great materials. He understands the topic very well. Check him out. Check out the website for Matt Fraad. I believe there's also a website called True Knights, TrueKnights. It's either .org or .com. I'm not sure at this moment which one it is. Check that out. Same type thing. Don't give up. All right. You have wired a lot of images into your brain. You have wired an awful lot of almost automatic type responses in your brain. You have to have the hope that you can pull out of this. And I think with time, you will. Guys have. It isn't something where you say, I'm irreparably damaged. Okay? I've just been informed that True Knights is no longer in existence. Okay, so I'll let that one go. Then go to Matt Fraad, F-R-A-A-D. If you're a religious fella, then trust that God indeed can help you out. I've just been informed by the guys in Ave Matt Frad's website is integrityrestored.com. Integrityrestored.com. Now, my friend, I'm going to go to a break, but keep listening because George from Chicago called and he says, I've got a quick word of encouragement for your caller. So let's hear what George has to say. Something tells me he's going to say, I was in Anonymous's position and I've been fixed, cured, chased, and happy. So my friend, there's some direction for you. I'm Dr. Ray.
Dr. Ray has more great advice coming up. Don't go anywhere. And that's a doctor's order.
Wings is the weekly newsletter that's packed with program info, features, and updates of all that's going on at the Global Catholic Network. Just go to EWTN.com/wings. Fill out your name and email address, and you'll start getting your wings every week. When you get yours, send it to all your friends, and they can send it to their friends. And pretty soon, we're covering the whole world with the good news about EWTN. Wings, the weekly newsletter from EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Are you fed up with the current healthcare system, paying too much for your healthcare cost? Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Best yet, Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. Visit SolidarityHealthShare.org to join like-minded Catholics in sharing medical expenses.
Here's great news. EWTN radio and TV host Dr. Ray Guarendi can help you meet the challenges of daily life with a Christ-like approach. In his new book, Thinking Like Jesus, The Psychology of a Faithful Disciple, Dr. Ray draws on decades of experience as a clinical psychologist and practicing Catholic to help you with countless daily problems. Thinking Like Jesus by Dr. Ray Guarendi, the latest release from EWTN Publishing, now available at EWTNRC.com.
Countless Catholics settling for a life of faith that begins and ends with the obligatory Sunday Mass. While essential, giving just 1 hour of our lives to God can never satisfy our deep longing for a purposeful, joy-filled life. Hi, I'm Teresa Tomeo, host of Catholic Connection, and in my new book, Beyond Sunday, Becoming a 24/7 Catholic, I get real about what it takes for us to live as a Catholic every day of the week. You can purchase Beyond Sunday and the study guide at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
During the break, I received a text from a good friend. He said, in response to our anonymous call regarding this, I guess I'll use the word addiction to pornography. He said, daily confession and communion did it for me. Yeah, I think that in fact, even from a psychological perspective, those people who are most likely to truly alter this part of their existence are those who have a deep spiritual commitment. George from Chicago. Hi, George.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
I think Anonymous really needs what you got to say.
Yeah, Doctor. Well, I'd say that where he is or where, you know, the things he struggled with, you know, I was right there with him in terms of, you know, the time of consumption daily for at least a decade. You know, I'm 27, so I'm right around where he is. And, you know, I became Catholic 2 years ago. And that, like, the biggest part of my conversion was, like, you know, accepting the Catholic faith was, like, wow, I got to stop watching porn. And, you know, when I embraced that, you know, the struggle was first the hopelessness, like, you know, these images, I still have images in my head from years ago. How do I get out of this? But when I started, as you just said, your friend said earlier, you know, daily confession and, you know, daily communion, It's a complete game changer. You know, it doesn't, the problem doesn't get solved all at once. You know, it might take years. One of my friends, it took him, you know, once he decided to truly fight it, 7 years. But, you know, at first it's a daily thing. Then, you know, after a while it's a weekly thing. You know, so it's this gradual fight that you just have to keep fighting with all of the strength that God can give you. Right now, you know, I would say that, you know, I've accepted that I could be fighting this all my life, but what I'm dealing with right now is not nearly as perilous as I was where I was a year ago, you know? You do feel like, wow, God is pulling me out of this. You know, the images that were in my head, you know, at least they might still be in there, but I don't remember them. I believe Matt Frett, he talks about the neuroplasticity of the brain, where, yeah, our brain, when it's on that porn, it changes, but once we stop watching it, it kind of reverts back to a healthy brain. And, you know, I just want to give that listener total hope he can get out of it. You know, he's not lost. He, you know, as long as he doesn't give up hope and he keeps fighting, he might get muddy, but, you know, he's going to get out of it with God's help. So that's all I wanted to say, Doctor.
George, you, I'm sure, have given him more than I gave him, more than I could give him. What would you say to someone, George, who says pornography is a victimless crime? It's not harmful. It just is something you do.
Well, you know, I'm going to school right now, and I actually felt convicted to actually give a speech on it. And I was kind of like putting up those arguments and trying to dismantle them, because first of all, you're the victim. And, you know, for someone who's religious or has a relationship with God, then, you know, your relationship is the victim. But even if someone's an atheist or, you know, there's still you're the victim, and whoever you're watching, you know, you're victimizing them in a way, because, you know, subscribing to porn or watching it or, you know, giving your time to that also, you know, that has implications in the sex trade. So it's not just you in your room. One big convicting factor for me was, you know, when I would be spending hours doing this, you know, I was away from my family, and my dad was going through times. And when my dad needed my time and support, you know, I was just not caring. I was worried about me and my gratification. There's just, when you just give it a minute of thought, you can see so many ways of how painful it is, not just to you, but to other people in your life.
When did you start?
Well, I would, you know, the first things I remember seeing was probably elementary school, but I don't think it in earnest really started, you know, to be a daily thing probably, yeah, around 8, 10 years ago, when, you know, smartphones became a thing, when internet, you know, was just a lot more accessible. No matter where you could go, you just had the internet in your pocket, and, you know, it was just always with you. And I think that's when it was really became a daily part of my life. And it was, you know, it wasn't just this one day, I'm going to do this every day. It just, you know, before you know it, you're just in it. You can't control it, you know.
I saw a guy, I was in a workshop once. He said that the age that a person most likely begins with pornography is pretty much the age that they get a smartphone.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Because when I got my smartphone, I was serving in the Marine Corps, and that was around, yeah, I got mine a little later than my friends, around 2010, 2011. And, you know, there's a lot of hurry up and wait in the military, so, you know, you got a lot of free time, you know, by yourself. And it's just that it was just the perfect storm of getting sucked into something like that. And I think it's, you know, being able to talk about these things as men, you know, you have to break down those barriers of, oh, this is a private struggle, because other guys need to know that, one, you know, there's a lot of guys, especially our age, or me and the caller's age, and even older men, that go through this, married men, single men, all alike, and we need to talk to each other about it. And, you know, and tell each other, yeah, there are success stories out there, because I know guys who think, well, this is just who I am and what I'm going to do for the rest of my life, and they just kind of slink their way through it, and they're just depressed all the time, as I was. You know, it wasn't just till semi-recently where I was getting real, you know, strong hope that, yeah, I can beat this, because I heard a talk from a friend of mine saying, you know, his journey, like, yeah, I was here, and it was a daily thing, and then it became a weekly thing, and so on, and right now, I'm standing before you, I haven't touched it in 7 years, and God that gave you. Me, I'm like, wow, I can do this, and right. It's been George, just an immense blessing in my life.
Thank you so much. You said many things that I think some fellas listening, particularly our caller, could benefit from. Thanks, George. This is Dr. Ray. I gotta run. Thank you for joining me here. Thanks, Eric. Thanks, Andrew. Walk with God. Hold your kids tightly by the hand.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.